Hello everybody, it's John, and I'm talking again to Sarah Browning. Now, you may remember recently that I interviewed her about her work with Graveyard, the classification and transcription that she's doing there. And when we finished, we got chatting, and it was quite obvious we should have left the machine on, because she was talking about these really interesting individual cases. So I've asked her to come back again this today, and tell us perhaps about one of these interesting cases that you had, Sarah, when you were working in the graveyard.
Yes, so this grave I'm going to talk about now, the research was done by one of the people who researches graves for our tours and for the website, Holly Burgoyne, and she's absolutely marvelous. And this was one that she was just sort of going through and picking random stones and going home and seeing, you know, what was to do with them. And this one really jumped out at her because it's really unique cause of death, and the story of how he got to the graveyard, as it were,
right,
actually ends up in the newspaper because of the circumstances.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read from the text that she put on our group, and then I'm going to read a little bit from the inquest into his death as well.
Oh, all right. Yeah. There's a bit more to it.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Go on, fire away.
Right. So there are six members of the Nollard family that share this stone, and this is the story of Sam. Sam Nollard lived at Canteen Street in Liggett. He worked for Tomberton Urban Council in the sanitary department as a scavenger. From what I can ascertain, a scavenger cleaned the streets, picked up litter and waste, and emptied bins. He married Priscilla Furness in 1891 at Heptonstall when she was 21 and he was 24. By 1895, they had three young children and one on the way. On Sunday, the 8th of September at 10:30 p.m., Sam notices a stray mastiff dog at the top of Bedford Street. He sees that the dog is wearing a muzzle, which has come loose and is hanging around its neck. It's dark, Sam can't see properly to secure the muzzle, and he decides to take the dog home with him, the intention being to keep the dog safe until an owner is found. Once Sam has taken the dog home, he attempts to secure the muzzle, but the dog reacts and bites him on his left thumb and draws blood.
Oh.
Yes. Sam and a friend take the dog to the police station. 3 days later, on the 11th, the dog is destroyed as it was becoming increasingly aggressive. Afterwards, on further examination, it was discovered that the dog was infected with rabies.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. Which, in 1895, is not a joke.
No, still isn't.
No. So, and this is where it gets interesting. Because Sam was employed by the council, and because he was doing council work when he was bitten, the council decided that they would pay to send Sam to the Pasteur Institute in Paris for treatment. And this institute's named after Louis Pasteur, who had only just recently died, and who was the inventor of pasteurization and vaccines for anthrax and rabies.
He's only just recently died?
Well, in 1895.
Oh,
yeah, no, not now. Marvelously well-preserved man,
yes. I'm getting you reading, yes. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
I thought he'd died before that.
Yeah, no.
Sorry, Sarah. Do carry on.
Thank you. So Sam arrived in Paris on the 15th of September, and they actually kept him for 21 days there rather than the usual 15, because there had been a delay between him being bitten and him arriving, and they wanted to make sure he got the maximum effect from the treatment, because ideally he would have started this sort of incremental treatment to help him build antibodies at a much earlier stage the virus's development. So after he finished his treatment, he returned to Tomberton on the 5th of October. Stating that he felt much better, he resumed his work duties. On the 16th, Sam began to suffer from severe pain and lost the use of his arm. The doctor was called and Sam was given an injection of morphia and belladonna. Despite the doctor's efforts, he died the next day, aged only 28 years old.
Oh, dear.
So the cause of death on his death certificate was hydrophobia, meaning an extreme or irrational fear of water, but this is how they used to describe
rabies
at the
time. Of course, yeah.
3 months later, his widow Priscilla gave birth to a boy and named him Sam. In this grave, Sam's daughter Sarah Ellen is also on the headstone, and she died a year later, about 2 years old. So Priscilla, his widow, it was a very bad few years for her.
Time,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, oh, definitely. We actually have Sam's death certificate at the library in one of the Antiquarian Society collections, because he was a member of the Mechanics Friendly Society, and Priscilla would have been able to draw a small death benefit after his death.
I see.
So she had to produce a copy of his death certificate as part of that. So it's saved now for anybody to look at
at
any point.
I see.
Yes.
Right.
And it mentions on there that there was an inquest into his death.
As well as
the cause of death. Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. So.
And have you something about the inquest there?
Yes. Well, I have the inquest from October 25th, 1895. It was printed in the Tomerton District News. And it's just a little bit from Spencer Thorpe, who was the son of Dr. Thorpe.
Oh, Dr. Thorpe? Yes.
The doctor.
Yeah.
In the area. Because he went with Sam to Paris, and he was called as a witness, and saying that they arrived at the Institute about 10 o'clock and had to wait in the garden outside until the doctors arrived at 11. Then they were taken inside, and Nothard's thumb was examined. Various inquiries were made, and he gave the particulars asked for. It was considered that the bite was a very serious one, going right down to the bone.
Oh, yeah.
He was asked why they had not gone earlier, and he told them that they had come straight away as soon as the council decided to send him. Instead of ordering them to stay 15 days, the usual time, they were given 3 extra days to stay. And they did keep him for 21 days at the end. And the foreman of the jury and the jury members are asking Thorpe a few different questions about what was happening and saying all that was done for him that could be done. Saying, did you not see Dr. Pasteur there? And Thorpe is saying, no, he died while we were there. So that's a mistake from mine. Sorry, he died while Sam was there rather than just before. Did they seem to think that the delay made it worse for the patient? Yes, they thought it was more risky. That's why they gave him 3 extra days. They never give more than 21 days, and that is for a bite on the head or face. And so it just keeps going into that. They wanted to call his widow as a witness, but they just called her and asked her to just confirm that it was him who was there, who had died.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to spare her any extra upset.
Because
she's heavily pregnant at this point. She'd have been about 6 months pregnant.
Condition to attend these things, I see.
Exactly. So, yeah. And it ends with the coroner asking the jury if they're satisfied that the Urban District Council acted properly. And the foreman says, yes, I think they're deserving of the thanks of the jury for their kindness. I mean, because it would have been a great expense to send him there.
Of course it would.
Very, very big expense, and it was good of them to do it, definitely. Yeah.
And this was when Tobenham has its own council. Yes. We weren't part of Calderdale.
No.
I could not help thinking, you know, would Calderdale have done anything like that? But never mind.
Well,
have to ask.
As a council employee, I would like to think so, yes. If I get bitten by a dog in the library,
yes,
I hope
you'll be
they
very,
send
very
me
careful,
somewhere.
Sarah. Yeah.
I'm sure they will. Yeah. So yes, so that's one of our graves.
So that's
there.
One of your graves, and you came across that more or less by chance.
Yes, Holly just picked a few, and then picked one and went with it. But that's what we encourage people to do. I mean, there's hundreds of graves there.
There's something
for everybody there. without making it sound strange, but you can just go in and find something and look into it, and you don't know what you'll find. Some people have very unremarkable lives. Unremarkable deaths, and some people have a death that is worthy of several columns in the newspaper for whatever reason.
Not only that, early on you mentioned doing tours of the graveyard. Now people might be interested in this, having heard a story like this.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit more about these tours that you do?
Yes, the idea of the tours is that we'll do one more or less once a month, and what will happen is it's a free tour. So if you want to donate at the end, you're more than welcome to, but the idea is that it's accessible for everybody. There's no financial barrier to becoming part of the graveyard group, so to speak.
Yeah, well, that's good.
And what happens is we pick 6 graves, and there's a loose theme to each tour. And we just take everybody around, and myself and Kara, another member of the group, will read out, alternating, the stories of the people in those graves. So the first one that we did was for the Commonwealth War Grave Commission graves at the graveyard, which there's 6 in there. And then there's a 7th, which at one time was in the graveyard, but when the first extension to the National School was built, they built it over top part of the earlier yard.
Mm.
And it's actually sort of carved out a little bit. So if you go around the cricket club side, you can see it in a little alcove.
Oh, I see.
And they look after it there. So we included him as well in the tour.
Oh, thanks for that. So if people want to join one of these, how do they find out when it's on and what time and where to meet and so on?
Well, we have a Facebook group, which if you search for Friends of Christ Church, 2 words, Tomerton, you'll find it. And we also put posters up at the library, Tourist Information Centre, news agents, etc. So you can have a look on there. But we run 2 tours on the day, one at 11:30 and one at 1:30.
Right, so, okay.
And they're about an hour long.
About an hour long, yeah. Right. Well, thanks for that. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure there'll be some more interesting tales, so please, yes, listeners, don't go far away. We shall be back.